This is Matt Wells at UN News. The chestnut tree that Anne Frank could see from her famous attic hiding place in Amsterdam during the Second World War was seen by the young girl as a symbol of hope and the natural world that she longed to touch again. Considered a living symbol of both Anne Frank's legacy and of the values embodied by the United Nations, a sapling descended from that very tree was planted in the gardens of UN headquarters in New York on Wednesday. The ceremony, organised by the Holocaust and the United Nations Outreach Programme, marked what would have been Anne Frank's 90th birthday had she survived the Holocaust. Sharon Douglas, CEO of the Anne Frank Centre for Mutual Respect, which donated the sapling, spoke to UN News' Anna Carmo about the legacy of Anne Frank and how her example can help new generations to come.
In 2010, the tree behind the annex died. And this was a tree, as Anna quotes and said, "From my favorite spot on the floor, I look up at the blue sky and the bare chestnut tree on whose branches little raindrops shine, appearing like silver, and at the seagulls and other birds as they glide on the wind. I firmly believe that nature brings solace in all troubles." Anne Frank, Diary of a Young Girl, February 23, 1944. Anne found solace in the beautiful horse chestnut tree that was outside the annex window. In 2010, the tree died. It was about 200 years old, and small pieces of it, saplings, were given throughout the world. The United States received 20. We put them in the Department of Agriculture to be kept so that they were free of fungus and mold. And then we sent out requests to large institutions throughout the United States, asking them if they met the mission of Anne Frank: tolerance, social justice, fighting against hatred and prejudice. And we reviewed them and chose 11 sites because several of the saplings had died. One of the sites was the West Lawn of the Capitol of the United States, which I planted with Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Eric Cantor. And we all went to Statuary Hall and made beautiful speeches about Anne Frank. Another was at the Clinton Foundation. Another was at the Indianapolis Children's Museum. Another was at Sonoma State University, Michigan Holocaust Center, Boise Holocaust Center, Cayuga State Holocaust Center, 9/11 Liberty Park, Boston Common, in the center of Boston Common. And we saved one for this most auspicious occasion, hoping that the United Nations, in honor of Anne's 90th birthday, would accept it.
How did that process came across? It was done with the UN Holocaust Outreach Program?
Yes, it was. Actually, I sent a letter to the Secretary General, and you said yes. And so the process began almost a year ago, and the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect has partnered with the Holocaust and Outreach program from the United Nations for many years now. We participate in many programs they have for Holocaust Remembrance Day, for Kristallnacht. We present workshops and programs. And so today we are planting that sapling, which Anne looked up at and drew such solace and hope for freedom. And it was her only way of seeing freedom. We at the Anne Frank Center blend the past to the present. We use the writings, her beautiful writings in her diary as a hopeful plan for young people to see that there is a future and they can dream and hope that there will be a better world, that there will be hope, unity, and peace. And this tree symbolizes it. And we hope that at the United Nations it will stand and all that visit it will be inspired as many before. The Anne Frank Diary has been in existence for 72 years. Just after Otto Frank found the diary and published it, about 5 years later, the United Nations was formed. So that diary and the United Nations is sort of a union of hope and unity and peace.
What's the main message that you have or that you aim to pass to the young generation, to the youth, in terms of raising more awareness to not have so much hate speech, that it's on the rise, and racism. What's the main message that your center tries to communicate specifically with the youth?
It was Otto Frank's dream that Anne Frank's diary become an educational piece, pure education, to look at this literary piece, which has been, scholars have dissected each word, and to learn from the carefully chosen words that she chose, that we can teach through diarying, through understanding our inner thoughts, through being able to teach. We teach students to react in different ways to volatile situations. We hope that through our exhibits and our workshops and classes that we go into schools with, that students will be able to express themselves. We have artist in residency programs where we use the diary to allow students to portray themselves and then write a poem about themselves. And we have found that teachers have said, when finished after 8 to 10 weeks, I never knew my students. And the strangest thing is that when Otto Frank read the diary, he said, I never knew my daughter. And so we're fulfilling his dream by just demonstrating that. We do theatrical pieces where we teach students how to deal with bullying, how to be an upstander, how to be an ally, how to recognize certain situations, how to learn about diversity. So we teach Otto Frank's dream of taking the past and teaching it in the future, and that we will forever be grateful for his preserving and finding the diary and for printing it. It's the largest printed book other than the Bible. It's translated into over 70 languages. She is symbolic of all that is good and the fight against evil, so that you can always find good in things if you look for it.
I know that this is not the first time that you are at the United Nations,
no,
but today is a very special day. Anne Frank would be turning 90 years old.
Yes, indeed.
On 12 June. What are your main feelings of being here and such a representative date?
Well, for me personally, it's very, very emotional, and I'll tell you why. Part of my family is English, and my cousins, Bea and Sid Klug, many years ago in the 60s, went to visit the house. And they were so impressed. My cousin B wrote a poem called The Ballad of Anne Frank. That poem somehow got into Otto Frank's hands at a business meeting that my cousin Sid was at. And it was actually his son-in-law, Eva Schloss's husband, who brought it to Otto, his father-in-law. And they met together one night in my cousin's home in Bournemouth on a Shabbos evening. And the Anne Frank Educational Trust was begun. And so my family, my extended family in London, has been a part of the Anne Frank, and hence I have been part of the Anne Frank for basically my whole life. And it was wonderful that the Anne Frank Educational Trust, of which my cousin B. Klug was the president and founder, is part of my family legacy. So this is something that I can do. She passed away about 2.5 years ago or so, and I feel very honored that I can continue that here in the United States.